Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Some kids have and some kids don't.
I didn't think they were going to do it, Doug, and they did it. 8-11. Billy Gilman. Welcome back. Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. We have the Appliance Discounter phone lines. This is 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, InsideSTL.com. That's 7 o'clock hour, gentlemen, brought to the good people by Design Air Heating and Cooling. And now it's the 8 o'clock hour. We have Ben Fredrickson, 8:30, and we have some fun with audio. We'll kind of prepare for that big interview, 9:10. Joey Lawrence, former teen heartthrob, has a big single out, Girl, from his album Imagine.
Sure.
Available on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, and more. You want to talk a little Cardinals baseball? What do you think?
Sure.
Or Game of Thrones.
Well, I didn't watch Game of Thrones, and okay. I don't watch it, so no, I can't partake. You guys can talk about
it. I don't watch it.
Cat doesn't watch it. Plowsy doesn't watch it.
You can talk about it. People like it.
Only me and Sea Monster.
Give us a quick break.
How about a nice little minute or two, little snippet?
Well, the wall came down last night. The dead people, the White Walkers, they had a dragon that they got last week, and he brought it back to life, and the dragon blew fire and melted the wall.
Sure, it could happen.
So they're on their way to kill everybody.
Sure, they're all going to die.
There was a meeting in the dragon pits between Cersei and Jon Snow and Tyrion Lannister and Dany. They were trying to come together to fight the White Walkers and
let's band together.
Yeah, Cersei backfired. She said that she would help, and then she didn't. Littlefinger died. He was killed by Arya. The knife that he gave to what's his name to kill the Bran. Yeah.
Well,
let's see what else. Oh, Jon Snow. I mean, at the beginning of it, I always look because, you know, they put the what it's rated.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, dirty. Rated MA for language, for adult content. Yeah. Last night, there was nudity.
Oh, Nico.
And you kind of thought it would be Dany because that's the only chick left in there that's going to get naked.
Yeah, boy's name. But
and it was Jon Snow's ass.
Oh.
So it was a dude's ass. Yeah. The ladies were happy with that, but the guys weren't. So if you find out last night that Jon Snow is actually a Targaryen.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah, so he banged his aunt last night is what ended up happening.
Incest is a nice storyline.
Yes. You know, you need to say that a little louder because I get that as a drop in your... I can't even hear it.
I don't want to step on your story. I'm just trying to follow
it. Oh, yeah, you're not doing that at all.
I'm sorry.
So anyway, I can't recap it all by myself. I need somebody to play off of.
You know what it seems, though? It seems like Doug is just helping you amplify your takes on what went down.
That's good, considering he doesn't watch the show. That's
no,
nice,
I don't see that.
No, but Doug's a good color guy. Iggy was doing the play-by-play, and Doug was providing the color analysis.
Just trying to understand. It shows empathy if you follow along someone's story and you stay with it.
There was a lot of talk about Ween last night.
No.
A lot of talk about guys not having weens.
Got lopped off.
Yeah, the Unsullies. I think the Unsullies have the berries, but not the twig.
Don't say lopped.
This is what the show was about.
Yeah, there was a nice discussion on who doesn't have a ween at the beginning of it.
What did they do? Take like a little poll, like a Friday exit poll?
Where all the Unsullied are out there in the...
Stully, he's on 920.
At King's Landing, all the Unsullied are out there guarding Danny, and they were talking about none of them have weens.
What?
As an Unsullied, you have to get it lopped off.
What happened to them?
They got lopped off. They're Unsullied. The first thing they do, the Unsullied, is they chop it off.
When they're children, they lop
it off. Yeah, they lop it off. So,
how do they go to the bathroom?
I don't know. Maybe their butt. So they were talking about that.
Work.
And then Theon Greyjoy, he had all of his chopped off by his captor. They just lopped it off.
Oh.
So he was there, too, without a ween.
Sure, another victim.
Was it like a little convention of the weenless? What was going on?
There was just a discussion on who had weens and who didn't.
And this is the show that has the whole nation fascinated.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of little court, little one-liners that are thrown out by different people. But there was a nice discussion on who had a ween and who didn't have a ween.
Yeah, that's a nice topic.
Did someone step forward and say, I got one? I still got mine?
Yeah. Right, well, they were talking about why even fight if you don't have a ween. The reason you fight is to get women, and they're fighting for nothing. And then the other guy, Jamie Lannister, said, well, you fight for money. He says, yeah, but what do you think those soldiers do with that money? Well, they go find a woman.
Sure they do. Little lady.
They spend it on a horse.
Yeah, what?
A nice wench.
So that's kind of what I got out of the show last night. But
they have buffets, like breakfast buffets back then? Because some people would fight for that.
Yeah, if you listen to some of the food they ate back then, my chef does a great stuffed partridge.
Oh, a bird, sure.
Pigeon pie.
Yeah, that's always available.
kind of gross stuff.
Well, you eat what you can.
Although now they're... Now the kings would eat like rack of lamb and things like that.
Better food, yeah. They're in charge. Rank has its privileges.
This would be a great SNL bit. Just what Doug is doing right now. Just react to anybody kind of telling a story about anything, and Doug just reacts without knowing anything that he's talking about. Mm-hmm.
I got a text from somebody the other day and said that's the funniest part of the show now is when you just kind of do your commentary under everybody.
Like
you were doing it to Charlie earlier, and I don't even think he understood.
I didn't know she could hear
me. I was laughing my ass off, and Charlie was just going right along with it, and you're...
No, I always know what Doug's up to.
Now, when they're, like, serving up the pigeon pie, does anyone show up and say, anyone need a ride to the stadium?
None of that?
Nope. Nobody giving rides in their chariots to
what
the...
What year is this set in?
I don't know. It's all make-believe. Who knows?
Like the 50s, I think.
I don't think there is a time because it's all made up.
Do they have cars or anything?
No, horses and carriages.
You know what they have, Doug?
What?
Basements.
Have they?
They do. Down in
they
the...
got them remodeled.
Well, no, back in the day they have dungeons.
This is called the Dungeons of the Red Keep, yeah.
But now you have basements. Elysium Restoration specializes in basements, kitchens, bathrooms, and home additions. They're doing Tim's basement. Elysium does quality work and has a track record of completing jobs on time and on budget. They work effectively with any budget, from basic remodels to your dream project. Plus, they do all this while hashtag PLTD, podcasting like the Dickens.
Damn.
Jason started with an idea and a pickup truck. Over the past 20 years, he's seen every type of job. And in that time, Elysium has consistently provided excellent work at a fair price. Jason and Ryan take care of their customers by being personally involved in all of Elysium's projects. And you can call them anytime. Get more info at www.erdstl.com. Elysium Restoration. Trust is one of the things they build well. Cat Cardinals with a rough homestand. What do you think? Losing 4 of 6 to the old Padres and Rays.
They had that 8-game winning streak where they put themselves right back in it.
Yeah.
Share a first place, right?
And yes, that's right.
And then nothing.
If you can just win 2 out of 6 against Tampa and San Diego, I think you've had a pretty good homestand. And now you're ready to go out on the road and really get something done.
Brewers, Giants, and some people call them the Friars.
I don't call them the Friars.
I said some people.
Okay.
The Padres.
And they will do it without Jed Jerko, who's on the 10-day DL with a hammy, and without a closer. I mean, there's other pieces now coming into play. And now they'll get September call-ups soon. That should help.
I think they have a reliever to handle the closing job, and that's Tyler Lyons. Yeah. He has been dynamite. He's not had any save chances yet, but not his fault.
Let me guess. You have him in dynamite.
Of course I do. I saw this coming.
Oh, he's been great.
How much more do you want from him?
I know he's been great.
The problem is, who else do they have right now with, what do you call it, high leverage situations?
Brevia has been pretty good.
He's been pretty good.
But I don't know who you trust fully other than those two.
And that's a tough scenario.
Yeah.
So I you know, they run out of time, but they're still, as Jerko said yesterday, they are still in it.
Yeah.
But everybody's
in
it.
Any team can get hot.
Like every team in baseball.
We can win this, baby.
Every team in baseball except for 5, literally, they're technically in it. Every team in the American League.
That's the beauty of the system.
Okay, I know.
But that doesn't mean that they're not in it.
I'm saying,
here's the rights holder stuff.
No.
Asia's saying they're playing great. No, I'm just saying
I didn't say that.
Regardless of why or how, they are in it. So if they are able to put together a run, but as I pointed out, they'll have to put it. They had one, and then there was a backslide. Now they have to put one together without other pieces that they had during the run.
Putting in the second wild card was the smartest thing baseball has done maybe ever. To keep this many teams still in it this late in the season is just fabulous.
I agree with you.
Even though we're probably not going to happen, they're a 500 team. What are they doing being talked about in the playoff race? But it's great that they are. It's not like they've added, you know, layers and layers of playoffs to get everybody in. They didn't have to. Just one more wild card spot has created all this interest league-wide.
And it does make it more interesting. But I do think when you look at the team as a whole, are they in it to win what's statistically the worst division in baseball? Yes. And I'm not trying to be a hater, but I don't think anybody thinks this is even a... I mean, would you even call them a good team? And I'm not trying to be mean,
They're an average team. Yeah. When you're 500, they're an average team.
And there are nine teams, last I looked, in the American League that are within like five games of the second wild card. So again, the second wild card has made it a lot more interesting, but does anybody think the Cardinals have any type of legitimate chance to do something in the postseason?
When they were winning eight in a row and their starting pitching was good, see, to me, even if they're playing, you know, mediocre baseball and they get in, the starting pitching is something that could be an equalizer in a playoff series. That's why I gave them a chance. Now that starting pitching has kind of gone south, and I watched yesterday's game, and I think to myself, I really wish they would sign Lance Lynn.
I just keep going back to 2006 and 2011 when they had the fewest wins of any team in the playoffs.
But look at the people.
Both years.
Doug,
neither year we thought they had a prayer to win the World Series.
Doug, you had Chris Carpenter in those years in his prime. Adam Wainwright as a closer. Albert Pujols, the best player of his generation in his prime. Matt Holliday, Lance Berkman. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Nonetheless,
Aaron Miles.
They barely squeaked in both years. Barely squeaked in with teams that we gave no shot at all to win the whole thing. If you just get there, you got a shot.
I love that theory. And I love watching the Cardinals games still. But the second wild card basically has allowed almost every team in baseball to still be in it. I mean, we should look what teams are within, let's say, five with about 30 to play. I bet you it's over 20.
We just saw the Phillies beat the Cubs 2 out of 3.
Yeah. Ain't bad.
I mean, one team is just, the Phillies are like the worst team in the National League. In a small sample size or a small playoff series, you throw it all out the window. Everybody's got a shot.
Phillies are hot right now, in all seriousness. Some young hitters, a bunch of kind of young arms coming up trying to prove themselves.
And Rhys Hoskins, who might be the next Babe Ruth. What, he's got 11 home runs in 18
games?
Right,
that's all-time record pace.
That's Little League stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
You're mad you don't have him in
fantasy. What you're saying...
Well, what are the Phillies... Why are they bringing him up now? This guy hit 30-some out of the minors. What are they waiting for?
Charlie didn't do it.
He had like 35 home runs in AAA.
Jack Flaherty...
And it's the worst team in baseball? Let's wait till the end of August to bring him up.
Jack Flaherty is dominating. He's not being brought up.
Yeah, why?
Because they want Memphis to win the championship.
No, because they want innings. They want to manage his innings. That's why.
Well, manage his innings in the back of the bullpen right now. Give him an inning or two here and there.
The other thing is, all of these arms, and I'm not criticizing the Cardinals because all teams do this. And look, I understand maybe you want to jump a guy's innings 25, 30 each year. You want to build it up. I totally understand that. All these guys, for the most part, if you throw hard, you're going to have Tommy John anyway. Look at last year. Alex Reyes doesn't pitch for the first third of the season, remember? He was suspended. They manage his innings. The guy throws 100 miles an hour. He had a partially frayed UCL anyway. He has Tommy John. I just think sometimes I get why they do it, but look at the Mets. The Mets, everybody said, oh my gosh, they're going to win World Series. They have the best young pitching staff in all of baseball. All of those guys are hurt. And did they overuse them? I guess you could make that point, but it's more so that you have four or five dudes who all throw almost 100 miles per hour in an unnatural motion. You're probably going to get Tommy John. Trevor Rosenthal, it was only a matter of time if you throw 100 miles an hour, that you're probably going to get Tommy John. I don't necessarily blame the club.
They have a plan for a player's development. They manage innings. You say you get that. Instead of bringing him up and putting him at the end of games where he's not comfortable, maybe you exacerbate whatever you know, the potential risks are. I don't know. I understand why they're doing it, and I don't think that's the magic pill of Flaherty to bring him up.
I think if you got a guy pitching in AAA that's better than what you have in the major leagues and you're in a pennant race, you need to get the guy up in the pennant race.
And also, all these guys, now maybe Flaherty's innings, it's to the limit. Now maybe they want a couple bullpen innings. I don't know. But Alcantara, all these guys are coming up. You know they are. Yeah, they're coming up in a week.
And Alcantara, one of the things with him is, yeah, he throws 100, but he still has trouble in stretches throwing strikes.
As a starter. Same with Alex Reyes. Alex Reyes' numbers were not good as a starter last year. They put him in the bullpen. He was amazing. Alcantara throws 102 miles an hour.
You're going to see it, but I'm just saying that don't necessarily look at that as a magic pill. Reyes had his Tommy John. Lance Lynn had his Tommy John. That's why I would like Lynn back. And then you have two guys. Lance is in the prime. Reyes is a young guy. To me, that and you put Carlos Martinez, those are the building blocks of a really good rotation.
But this is more of, and again, this is more of a big picture discussion, or at least a point I'm trying to make. We all bring up Steven Strasburg. What happened that 1 year? Was it 11?
I believe so. Yeah.
That year, where the Nationals are one of the best teams in baseball. By the way, I think they pitched him in the All-Star game that year, which is kind of odd since you're limiting his innings. But anyway, whatever year that was, Steven Strasburg is amazing. They shut him down. He gets hurt anyway. All these pitchers get hurt. If you have a chance to win it all, you know what I'm saying? You're going to throw that away. The Nationals haven't done anything in the postseason since then. Now, maybe they do this year, but all I'm saying is I get why these arms are so valuable, but they're probably going to be injured anyway. You're probably going to have Tommy John. Right. 25% of all pitchers in Major League Baseball, I just saw a stat, have already had Tommy John. And if you throw that hard, you're probably going to have it. So if a guy's rolling, try to win a World Series.
It seems reasonable. Yeah. They're going to kick themselves forever for not pitching him in 2011, I think, when they had a chance and they said, no, that's going to do it for him.
But just also to assume that your team won't be any good, if you're gonna shut a guy down, don't do it when your team's in it. Do it at the beginning of the season, right? I mean, that's where you have leeway to
just give him a
to manage
give him
the
a week
innings.
Or give him 2 weeks off in the middle of the season. You don't shut him down completely.
Put him on the 10-day now.
Unprecedented, I think. I don't know that it's ever happened like that before.
At the quarter pole of each season, Doug, you could put that guy on the 10-day. 40 games in, put him on the 10-day, give him a nice little break.
Yeah.
Then he gets the All-Star break around game 120, 130. Do it again. All of a sudden, you've saved yourself probably, 20 innings?
Well, with virtually all pitchers getting hurt at some time, they're doing something wrong somewhere along the development. Whether it's pitching too little or not enough in Little League, in high school, in college, in the minor leagues, major leagues, somewhere along the line, they're doing it wrong.
Because really? Because
I don't think
this
that's
many
true.
People should not be hurt.
And look, they've been doing this for years. Tommy John and all these surgeries now relatively new. Guys used to pitch complete games. The difference was back in the day, you pitched until you actually couldn't throw anymore, and then when you were hurt, you went and sold furniture. It's not a new phenomenon. It's if you, as you say, rightfully, or Charlie said it. I'm sorry. You throw hard in an unnatural motion, you're probably at some point going to get injured. I don't think there's any way that you can sort of buffer against that.
I don't know that pitchers drop like flies at any point in history more than they are now. And they were throwing as hard as they could.
Then,
they were throwing as hard as they could.
As Kat said, back in the day, when you had a dead arm, you were a plumber now.
Yeah, you pitched
literally, or
you were gone.
And then you became a knuckleballer.
You don't even know the stories of young guys who came up, threw their arms out because you never heard of them.
You don't even know.
They were selling furniture.
Now almost everybody has the surgery. It's not a few of them. It's almost everybody.
But back then they didn't
have
the surgery, so you went home. That's not to say that they didn't hurt themselves.
Churned butter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think
they became milkmaids.
I don't know if
correct.
They're lifting too much weight or not enough weight, working out somewhere along the line in the development. They're not doing it right.
I disagree.
And
we
disagree
may go
with you totally.
10 years from now, look back and say, I can't believe they were doing it this way. Just like we do now, looking back in the 70s and 80s. I can't believe some of the stupid training techniques we were using.
But, Doug,
I think in the future they may look back and say,
really different
this
that they're doing now, though,
this is
Doug,
what we were doing
you
wrong.
Know, there's not something like all of a sudden in the 70s, they started, twirling a baton and that hurts the elm. No, relatively the same thing they've always done. The difference is
they do things different now. They do
tons
of weight work.
You know what they do now? They pitch a lot less now than they used to. That's what they do. So the burden was greater before. The difference was they didn't have the surgery, and so you pitch. The other thing, if you hear some of the veterans like Gibson or those guys talk, what they did is they didn't throw 100% at all times, knowing that the goal was to throw a complete game. So they mixed it up. They didn't show their best stuff early. It's a different game.
We've had Leo Mazzoni on this show saying that people don't throw enough, that he used to have his Braves pitchers throwing all the time between starts and everything else. They threw and threw and threw some more, and those guys didn't break down.
I'm pretty sure, didn't Smoltz have Tommy John?
I don't know.
I believe he did. I think it comes down to, in all seriousness, look at a softball pitcher in high school, in college. Those girls throw every single game because it's a natural, fluid human motion for your shoulder to go underhand. That's why a pitcher literally throws 50 games in college. That doesn't happen at any level of baseball because it's an unnatural motion for your arm. So I think it's more about you're just going to get injured. If you do something your body is not built to do many, many times, thousands of times, you're going to get injured. That's why everybody says, people throw too much, people throw too little. Literally no team knows the answer because there is no answer. I mean, I'm sure you can look at medicals, but everybody has Tommy John. Are there any teams that do it better? Honestly.
No, I don't think there you can find one. That's the way to do it because your pitchers will be safe.
Who was the Dodgers pitcher? Was it Mike Marshall?
Mike Marshall, who said everyone's doing it wrong.
He's a kinesiologist, yeah. He's the one who says you're doing it wrong. And he says throw almost like you would do a screwball. And he says that's the way your muscles would turn.
You ever see the video of these guys, the torque? Everyone's seen that. The muscles in the – I mean, it is unnatural. And you're doing it at such velocity. Of course guys are going to get
velo. Say velo.
Sorry, velo.
Maybe they just need to – instead of a starter going – 6 or 7, maybe they need to throw 3 innings.
I believe.
Maybe that's the problem.
Didn't Danny Mac?
You have 2 or 3 starters in a game instead of 1.
I think they had that conversation on one of the games where they said, it was a particular pitching coach said, whatever, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, everybody's going to be pitching different in the big leagues where you do have a piggyback starter and you have 2 starters basically that both are going to throw around 70 pitches. And try to cover.
What was a team that did that mostly because it was at Colorado.
The A's tried it, and I think in the minors,
and they got torched.
Houston,
I
believe,
those guys got torched.
Well, they got to be good pitchers. It can't just be anybody.
So now you need instead of 5, you need 10 starters, 10 good starters,
or just 10 good pitchers.
Yeah, you don't need guys to go 100 pitches.
Hey, right now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, Ben Fredrickson, columnist for the Post-Dispatch, brought to you by 314 Sports. 314 Training Academy features a 15,000 square foot indoor facility in Brentwood with the state-of-the-art HitTrax baseball simulator. Check them out, www.314sports.com. Ben Fred, how you doing?
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Oh, we're fine.
Well, we're talking about Tommy John, and I guess the argument is Kat and I are basically saying, look, you're probably going to get injured. It's an unnatural motion, throwing a baseball 100 miles an hour a bunch of times. And Doug, I'm not really listening sometimes when you talk. Your premise is...
Oh, you son of a so-and-so. My premise is somewhere along the line, they're doing it wrong and that it will change here in another few years. They'll say, I can't believe we were doing it that way in 2017. You can't have all these pitchers making all this money constantly hurt.
I think Doug's general philosophy on all things is that we've all gotten soft, and we just need to toughen up and pick ourselves up by our bootstraps.
There you
right?
Oh, now you're talking.
Throw some ice on and get out there and pitch.
Right. But that's how they used to do it. We were saying before you came on that pitchers have always been hurt. The difference is now they have surgeries that can correct the problem. Back in the day, we don't even know the names of a lot of pitchers. They got hurt. They couldn't pitch. They were doing something else for a living.
Yeah, or they were just rubbing like horse tranquilizers on their arms or something to go out there and stay. And now there's so much money in it, and you know, agents and stuff want their guys to be healthy, so there's more attention to the actual breaking down of the body parts. And they also have advanced technology to determine tears and things like that. How many guys were pitching with Tommy John related injuries and they never knew it? They just knew their arm hurt. Or they had dead arm.
Right, and they
like
knew
that
if they didn't pitch, someone else would pitch, and they'd be gone.
Exactly, yeah. I think Charlie nailed it earlier when he said
hold on.
He didn't nail it.
Thank you.
I thought we all know it's an unnatural motion. He's not the first person to ever say
I think I'm actually the first.
You are not.
Hold on, let me think about it. Yeah, you were the first.
He is not.
Thank you, Kat. Thanks,
you know,
Ben.
Hey, Doug, there's a guy named Jeff Patney who wrote a book about that. You guys should have him on the show.
Oh, we tried, but he left because he's a massive Hillary Clinton supporter. He was in denial about Hillary.
Has he not been on since?
No, he hasn't.
He won't come on.
I don't think he's coming back.
And I've talked to him about it, and I say, Jeff, I like it. We've always gotten along. But in fairness, you kind of waded into something before you came on, and then Doug said his point, and then you got mad, and now it's Doug's fault and our fault, and you won't come on the show.
Oh, well.
Doug, you did nothing wrong that day.
No kidding.
Well, I was just restating
we'll be
it
fine.
For people that don't remember.
We'll be fine without him denying some of the
radio.
Things Hillary Clinton
I enjoyed
did.
Listening to it.
All right. Well, that's good. So what did he say in his little book?
Well, he said it was, you know, there's a lot of people trying to figure this out, but there really isn't an answer. I mean, it's something that our bodies aren't designed to do, that guys are getting paid a lot of money to do, and it's going to continue to be this big puzzle in the whole thing.
It's like tearing your ACL. If you're a football player and you run at 235 pounds, you're super athletic, and you have to cut with cleats on grass while people are hitting you, I mean, there's always going to be people tearing their ACL. It's the same for baseball.
And
in my opinion,
those guys are bigger now and faster than they've ever been. And same for pitching. I mean, these guys are throwing harder than ever before, and their bodies aren't necessarily built to maintain it. Even if they are, even if they're specimens, you can't condition a ligament. I mean, you can't lift weights. That doesn't help. You can stretch, but there's nothing new that we can do to those ligaments that we couldn't do, you know, 50 years ago when everything else is advancing. We're kind of becoming too advanced. Well, not we as sports journalists, but athletes are becoming too advanced for their body parts.
Yeah, and it's kind of like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't in terms of working out, because what happens if a guy comes up and he has the build of a Luke Weaver? Everybody says, oh, will he be able to handle 180, 200 innings? All right, let's put some muscle on him. All that anybody in the Mets organization is talking about with both Yoenis Cespedes and Noah Syndergaard is that they probably lift too much, that Cespedes has hamstring issues all the time because he's so built. Same with Syndergaard. He's throwing around a ton of weights and messed up his lat. So it's
we heard that with Rosenthal,
yes.
too, when he was more dedicated to the weight.
Remember Ryan Ludwig?
Yeah.
The year after he had his 37-homer season, mm-hmm. So that was 08. 09, he struggled, and he said he came back and he was too jacked, basically, that he didn't have the fluidity of movement that he did before. So, again, guys are too frail. Guys are too big. I don't think you can find the right recipe because guys are just going to get hurt if they throw a baseball 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, I think baseball is unique in that, too, because you look out there and see guys of all different builds. I mean, Lance Lynn has gotten thinner in years past, and he looks great, and then he doesn't pitch as well. He pitches better when he's got a little bit of weight to him. Carlos Martinez is kind of the same way. They worry about him getting too skinny as the season goes along. They want him to have a little bit of weight on him in order to maintain those things. So baseball's a weird thing. You can't exactly engineer a guy in a lab and expect him to be a, you know, expect it to help his game unless it's, you know, Stanton.
Yeah, and you look at people and there's just all kinds of body types too that can throw like that. It's just hard to really look at a guy and know how he's going to be able to throw. How Carlos Martinez can throw almost 100 miles an hour, and you know someone as big as Adam Wainwright never did.
Yeah, and in completely different pitches and skill sets, it's fascinating. I mean, it's amazing what Luke Weaver can do, and you understand why guys look at him and go, okay, can he hold up? You know, look at some of the ways Mike Leake struggles later in the season. Maybe because he doesn't have enough of a you know, mass or size to weather the innings. But you know, Weaver might be a completely different guy. The only thing that's really similar between them is their build.
We've seen, you know, thin or frail or smaller guys be great pitchers. Pedro wasn't very big. I remember Ron Guidry was a little guy, and he threw hard and was very durable. I mean, it's tough to figure in the sport of baseball. So the Cardinals don't have Trevor. You know, everyone thinks Lyons is the guy to close games, but the bullpen is still iffy. Now they go out on a 10-game road trip as they try to put together another run similar to the 8-game winning streak they had to get back in it. What are the chances of that, Ben Fred?
I mean, there's still a chance. They've done it before, but I think that homestand was pretty disappointing. I mean, there's no reason you shouldn't have been able to get series wins against those teams. The Rays are not a bad team, but they had not been playing that well. And then the Padres are no good, and to have struggles against those guys. And it all starts with the bullpen. You have to find somebody who can kind of secure that spot. And I like the idea of a closer by committee, but this is a team and a manager that's always, I think, done its best when it has that guy, and has kind of built from the back end. And until somebody secures that spot, they're going to keep being in a position where they can easily lose anytime they don't have a 10-run lead late in the game.
Yeah, and the hitting kind of comes and goes too. It's gotten to where if they don't hit a home run, it's kind of hard to score runs, and that's a kind of a bad sign always.
Yeah, I mean, you got problems on the offense that haven't been consistent all season. You know, you just kind of lack that one bat maybe makes everything a little bit more relieved in the lineup and a little bit more of a threat. And then the bullpen is in shambles right now. And then you have some question marks in your rotation. So the one thing that had carried them to this point is the starting rotation, and now it needs some help. And you're having hard time getting that consistently from the other parts of the team. I guess the plan now is to maybe get some offense from Luke Voit. And I like that idea. I think you like to see him get a chance. I'm a little bit reserved about seeing Matt Carpenter play third base after not playing much there all year.
Ben Fredrickson joining us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, brought to you by 314 Sports. Ben, Fred, besides Cardinals baseball, what are you hot for these days? Missouri football starting.
Who's big for
NFL
you?
Preseason. Basically, who's big for you?
Yeah, I'm excited about college football, Chuck. I love it, and I get a kick out of following it. And we're here. We're back. There was actually some on this weekend, some of those teams that nobody pays attention to. So that's exciting. And with the big clash between Missouri and Missouri State coming up, I think it's going to be fun to get to Columbia and cover some college football. Not so much the NFL, though. I guess it's safe to say I have not followed it much at all this year, to the point that if I had to take like a current events quiz, I think I'd probably fail.
And it's been the first year
in a long time that I really haven't paid much attention to it at all.
I'm exactly the same way. I just can't get interested at all. I'm interested in my fantasy team, and I'm interested in the Rams losing every game they play. Other than that, I just can't remember when I've ever been less interested about an NFL season.
Yeah, it's hard to watch it as like just pure competition now, because I feel like everybody here in St. Louis kind of saw behind the curtain a little bit. And you know the people that are running it, and you know what their motives and intentions are, and it's just a little bit harder to ignore that, I think.
As a Sedalia guy, I'm sure you're a huge Central Missouri State fan. How do they look this year?
Oh, well, they're going to be young, Doug, but tell you what, they've got a fire to them.
Have they?
And if they go out and really kind of adopt the mentality of their head coach, whose name is eluding me at this point, I think they're going to be in good shape.
Sure.
I think we all know who he is. You didn't have to say his name.
Absolutely. Ben, Fred, how about this, too? We have two heartthrobs on the show today. One being you, and then, and I said here, like, to be fair, you're kind of locally, regionally, you know what I'm saying, a heartthrob. Whereas at 9:10, we have Joey Lawrence from, of course, Blossom and the show Melissa and Joey. He was a big hit in the 90s.
Yeah, but he's current cuteness.
I know.
As opposed to old time.
Okay,
cuteness.
Can I get to my, this is a very important point. So we put a poll out there. And actually, the listeners think 85 votes, Ben, Fred, 85 votes, 64% of people say you are cuter than Joey Lawrence. How about that?
That's a good day. I think you should cut it off. That's enough of a sample size. You don't need those.
It's actually, it's going up. The percentage is going up as people are waking up.
I'm honored and flattered.
Well, we just figured your cuteness should be recognized. That's why we put it to the poll. Figuring that these results would be the end result.
So this a Schaefer approved poll, or is this done without?
No, this was one since I was going to do it, but I don't know how. I don't have the app, and it's a whole to do. So I had Seymour put it on the station or the show Twitter, right? The show Twitter.
Well, be sure to let Mr. Lawrence know.
No, I'm going to tell him coming up in about.
We're going to hold him accountable.
25 minutes. Make sure you stay for that. And as always, it's a pleasure, Ben, Fred. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good day.
All right.
You too.
Thank you, Ben Fred.
Ben Fredrickson, columnist for the Post-Dispatch, brought to you there by 314 Sports. 314 Training Academy features a 15,000-square-foot indoor facility in Brentwood with the state-of-the-art HitTrax baseball simulator. Check them out on the web, www.314sports.com. How about this? No, I got a good text. Mark Miller from Miller Furniture texts me.
Belleville.
Belleville and Lake St. Louis now. Texts me during that conversation, and he says, the cat was on point. That's exactly what happened to my grandfather, Les Miller. He pitched for the Detroit Tigers until he blew out his arm and went back into selling furniture. That's funny that Kat said that. You said the exact situation that happened to his grandfather back, I believe, in the 40s. And he also says they have a big sale coming up for Labor Day, Miller Furniture. One of our fine sponsors.
God bless Miller
Furniture. On the Midday Grind.
Think about it, though. I mean, there's hundreds, maybe thousands of guys with the same story. We don't know. Because back then, you had that kind of injury. It was over. We always hear, you know, his baseball career was cut short by injury. You don't hear it as much because they have surgical procedures now that they didn't have before. Sad, but it's true. And there were a lot of players who might have been stars who were just guys because they were pitching with an arm that was ready to fall off, but they knew they had to pitch in order to.
Well, it was a good thing Mutual's arm blew out on him. It made him an outfielder.
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll ever get to the point where someone will try to throw with the softball motion.
Well,
because it's
I wonder
so hard
too.
To hit because the ball is going up instead of down, which is a really hard thing to hit. I wonder if there'll be somebody that just figures out how to whip it around underhanded fast enough to be hard to hit.
I think the key is that when you throw overhand, you have more control to make the pitch move, whatever various breaking pitches or other. It's harder to do underhand. That's why I wonder why guys, it's more natural to do the submarine motion. Why guys aren't doing that, where you still have the ability to make the ball move.
Yeah.
I think with that underhanded grip, it's going to be harder to
If you could throw it hard enough, though, and get it rising, not a downward plane, but an upward plane.
Whoa. No.
That would really be hard. I'm surprised someone hasn't at least experimented with it.
Well, maybe they have, and it would never work, so you don't hear about it. Maybe on their own, when their arm blew out, they tried, and they're like, yeah, this isn't going to work either.
I don't know.
Good text. Hoosier of Huntley says, the Bradley Jr. Braves were decimated by Lydia Moss surgery.
What, they were killed?
Well, Lydia Moss Bradley had...
They were killed in a sense that they're dead. Now, nobody knows exactly how.
What was it, 6 of 7?
6 of 6 children, and then the one husband, of course.
Oh, 7 for 7.
I don't know. I think it was a fluke.
If you go, I'll tell you what, if you're a rookie and you come up in Major League Baseball and you go 7 for your first 7, people are going to talk about it. People should talk about this Lydia Moss Bradley.
How about this text line? My dad was drafted by the Phillies in the late 70s, tore his rotator cuff, and was done. Moved back to STL and just got a job and never played again. I do think, though,
that
shoulder and rotator cuff is different, because if you truly rip up your shoulder, labrum or rotator cuff, those surgeries don't bring you back in the same way that Tommy John does. If you tear your UCL nowadays, now not every pitcher comes back. Remember Jason Mott. Jason Mott has never been the same pitcher since coming back from Tommy John, but he's still a big league pitcher. But a lot of these guys come back just as good, some of them better, from Tommy John.
Most now come back as good as they were. Most, I would say, come back as good as they were.
And haven't there been a couple that have had it twice now? They had it early in their career and then pitched another 7 or 8 years. Oh, I need it again.
I believe Edinson Volquez is getting it for the second time, if I'm not mistaken. Hey, Doug, Lou Fest, 590 The Fan, partnering.
Any information on that?
I have about 3-4 paragraphs here.
All right.
590 The Fan, partnering with Lou Fest once again this year and offering 1 and 2 day passes for our exclusive area at the festival in Forest Park this September 9th and 10th. Brought to you by Bud Light and Country Financial. Musical acts include Joey Lawrence. Just kidding. He's not there. No. He's on our show at 9:10, though.
Sure.
Snoop Dogg, Weezer, Cage the Elephant, Run the Jewels, Spoon, Marion Hill, and so many more. For the same price as general admission, listeners have access to our dedicated bathrooms, a private cash bar, outdoor lounge, lawn games with prizes, and, of course, mingling with some of your favorite 590 show hosts. The tickets are first come, first serve, and are on sale now. Visit InsideSTL.com and get yours before they're gone. About 20 minutes away from Joey Lawrence. You guys nervous?
Yeah. No, I was just going to read up a little bit on him, so find out what he's
been
up to.
I'm going to check his net worth.
I already went to Wikipedia. I actually typed in Joey Lawrence. And you know how then the next word shows up? And it was Joey Lawrence, I believe. Wife, Joey Lawrence. No, the first one was whoa. Joey Lawrence, whoa. Joey Lawrence, wife, Joey Lawrence, net worth.
Okay.
What's the net worth?
I didn't click on it, actually.
I'm going to say $5 million.
That's his own business.
No. You come on our show, we're going to hold your net worth accountable.
It's more than me.
We're a financial show more than anything else.
Stock tips?
Yeah. If you were to just kind of, you know, give a definition as to what we do, we're a financial show that sometimes gets off the rail and talks about sports and all kinds of craziness.
Speaking of off the rail, we have about 10 minutes before we have to break. We have some fun with audio clips. Sea Monster carved them up. Plowsy. They're all titled Random. Any of these especially good?
I think the Sal Pal one's pretty entertaining.
So Sal Palantonio did apparently a cringeworthy post-fight interview with Floyd Mayweather for ESPN.
All right, hit the lever, Plowsy.
What did you think of the way Conor McGregor approached the fight at the beginning?
That was our game plan. Our game plan was to take our time. To, you know, take one round at a time, let him shoot his load, and then down the stretch, do what we do best.
When did you think that the fight was starting to turn, when he had shot his load and you could come out?
Oh, no.
When he started shooting his load in the first half of the fight. And then in the second half, we started coming on extremely strong.
Wow, I had not heard that. He did say, Floyd Mayweather said the same thing to the girl on FS1. He said that same term, shoot his load. So I didn't know. That was apparently a term he was using, a phrase
he was
using a lot.
When did you think that the fight was starting to turn, when he had shot his load and you could come out?
Oh, you can even tell Sal Pal was like, oh, I don't want to say this, but you just said it, and I'm nervous, and I'm
gotta
live.
Gotta come up with another way to say it.
When did you think that the fight was starting to turn, when he had shot his load and you could come out?
You know, sometimes the post-game, post-fight interviews, spur of the moment, live television.
Like, for example, Tommy Pham.
Not as easy as
Saturday Night. Like.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You did a good job, though.
Yeah.
And he said, fantastic.
He's great.
He's one of the best parts of this 2017 season. On the field and quotable, Doug. Yeah. Tommy Pham. He's interesting. Mm-hmm. He's fun. He goes after the Twitter trolls, which I appreciate.
Does he?
Absolutely.
He does.
How does he do that?
Because whenever, you know, I love it. I'm sure he goes to his mentions. And a lot of these guys, they want to go to their mentions if people are saying nice things. They can have conversations. They can talk about charity, this and that. But, of course, there's a lot of negative people in this world. Kat, I don't know if you had the specific text. We can bring it up. Or tweet, I should say. Somebody said something about Tommy Pham celebrating by himself when clearly he had just had a whole bucket of ice thrown on him.
Yeah, I was right there.
And then Tommy Pham said something like, you know, keep your 2 cents to yourself, blah, blah, blah. I'll read it. But he goes after people if they're criticizing him. I'll find it for you.
Unfairly. I think he probably lets a lot go, but I've seen him come over the top a couple of times.
And a member of our team photo. Remember our last day of spring training, or second to last day of spring training, we wanted a group pick. Tommy Pham came up.
So that gives us the right to claim responsible for his breakout
season.
He's
ours, yes.
Yeah, we gave that to him.
Who would know the best player on the team would be in our little team photo there? I guess he'd have to be the MVP of the season.
Yeah, I think him, DeJong maybe, two guys in the running.
Lance Lynn.
DeJong really solidified that number three spot, which was a disaster. So
now you're saying DeJong.
DeJong. It is DeJong. I'm just tired.
It looks like DeJong. Why isn't it DeJong?
Because he says it DeJong. It is a J, but it's DeJong. And I said it wrong, even though I've said it right a million times, because I'm dumb.
Huh. All right. Yeah.
And on no sleep again.
Well, what kept you up late last night?
Couldn't sleep.
After a tough homestand, you just sit there and you say, what's wrong with our birds?
Yeah. You toss and turn?
I was tossing and turning. And I was like, starting pitching's good. No, it struggled. Then I was like, bullpen, Lions, who else?
Okay, Sea Monster says we have to break. I'm trying to go through Tommy Pham's Twitter real quick. It looks like he also won a bet on Floyd Mayweather because he showed some cash that Colton Wong put on his seat. Because apparently they bet on the fight. I'm trying to find this other text, this other tweet. If I can't find it, we'll read it later. But anyway,
I want to say one other thing about DeJong, too. This is a bad producing on my part. So because it's Players Weekend in baseball, it was this past weekend, and while Tampa went crazy with the nicknames on the back of their jerseys, Cardinals just had a couple. So we were getting players to read the lineups. We don't always want to bother them with that. So DeJong did it one day. And I thought it was great, and I gave him the lineup, and I'm just standing there watching it, and he did a great, you know, had a couple of yucks in there, whatever. But he left out Randall Grichuk, who was hitting cleanup that day.
Oh, no.
And, of course, Twitter, when they tweeted it out, picked up on that right away. And Grich was very mad at DeJong.
We got to take a break because we have an exclusive 8 to 10-minute window, I'm told, beginning right around 9:08 to talk to the Joey Lawrence. Coming up next on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the still all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.